Welcome to the seventh edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. And in today's discussion, we will be discussing what the Indiana Pacers should do. And what a season the Indiana Pacers had. I mean, they were filled with injuries. They didn't have Oladipo most of the year. He came back in around January. The COVID-19 pandemic hit. And, you know, forced the NBA bubble, and the Pacers played all the way up to the number fourth seed. Obviously, as we all know, what went down, the Pacers got swept by the Eastern Conference champions, Miami Heat, which we will discuss in another episode. But right now we are on the Pacers side of things, and they made some big moves in the offseason. There's rumors around on whether Oladipo is going to stay in Indiana or going to test the free agent market. And there's also a question of who is going to fill in the void as a new head coach for the Indiana Pacers. Because as we all know, Nate McMillan is out of a job from the Indiana Pacers. And I'll direct you with this question, Caleb. Even though Nate McMillan the last couple of years has brought the Indiana Pacers to the playoffs, they decided to cut him loose after two consecutive years of being swept in the first round of the playoffs. What are your thoughts behind the firing, Caleb? And do you think the Pacers made the right decision in firing Nate McMillan?
I think they made that decision based off of we need to make something happen soon, but we still believe in our players, and we still believe with the core we have that they can make a run. I think that's what the decision ultimately came down to. But I feel like he's a solid coach, and I feel like he can help a team that needs them, that is more of a contender. And he could be an assistant. He could be an asset to any contending team as an assistant. I mean, the Lakers could use him, Clippers, Toronto, Golden State. He could be such an asset on any coaching staff. But I think, you know, Portland's just trying to head a different direction depending on what they do. We have a lot of questions to go over today with what would you do and what would they do, because they have a lot to do and have a lot to look forward to. So, you know, it was a decision outlook in the future. I'd also like to announce that they just signed an assistant coach from the Portland Trailblazers named Caleb Canales. Yeah, he was a favorite for Portland when he was out there, I guess. But he was actually an interim head coach for Portland back in 2012. So it's been a minute, but this guy's going to be an assistant. So with that being said, you know, that says something of what they're doing. So with the coaching staff. So what do you think, Matt? What would you do?
Well, in my personal opinion, I thought it was time for Nate McMillan to go. I mean, we look at, even though he was with the Indiana Pacers for 4 years, I believe he replaced Frank Vogel after Vogel got fired from Indiana. We look at in his 4 years that he was with the Indiana Pacers, he led them to 42 wins his first year, 48 wins his second year, 48 wins in his third year, and then 45 wins in year four. But each of those four times they made it to the playoffs, each time they were eliminated in the first round. And, you know, at some point you have to come to fruition and say, you know what, we just can't have a head coach that can't make it past the first round. You know, you gotta have to elevate, you know, the Pacers as a whole. It'll be interesting to see who they fill in as a head coach. Obviously, you know, there are some candidates. For example, there's the former Kings and Grizzlies head coach. There's Dave Joger. I also, this would be an interesting name to throw out. This is a man who you see sometimes on the jump, David Fizdale. I would love to see David Fizdale get another chance in the NBA. I feel like he did well in Memphis. I feel like this is almost the same situation as Memphis. They got a bunch of veteran guys on there that can compete. And if I were the Pacers, you, when the Pacers are healthy, they're right there. I mean, they were a number four seed in the NBA, and they didn't have Oladipo most of the season. And even when the bubble came in, I don't think they had Domantas Sabonis in the bubble either. I mean, we saw that there was memes going around of TJ Warren, you know, breaking out. So, you know, it's one of those where the Pacers, they're a team where, you know, if they're fully healthy and they can run it back, if you could add maybe a guy like a David Fizdale who's had championship experience, he was an assistant with the Heat when they went on back-to-back runs. He had a good run in Memphis, taking them to the playoffs a couple years. Obviously, people look at his Knicks stint, and he didn't really have a chance with the Knicks, if we're being honest. When David Fizdale got the job with the Knicks, you knew that was a dumpster fire, and he really wasn't given a fair shot. So I would love for them to go after David Fizdale right there. There's also some other candidates that they might look at. I wouldn't be surprised if they look at the Bucks assistant, maybe like a Darvin Ham or Charles Lee, kind of with the way how Milwaukee has been progressing in the Eastern Conference. I wouldn't be surprised if they went after them, or heck, even if they wanted to, maybe even go after some of the Spurs assistants. Maybe we could see a first ever woman head coach in Becky Hammond. Maybe if she's ready to take the head coaching role, maybe Indiana could come calling, but they got plenty of candidates, plenty of options to choose from. I mean, we discussed the Houston Rockets when they got the former Mavs assistant Steven Salas. He wants to compete. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens there. But, you know, the Pacers, they got a lot of options to choose from.
I mean, to add on to the options that they do have, you know, Mark Jackson wouldn't be too bad of an option either, being that he played there at a significant time back in Reggie Miller and them. So he knows what type of culture he can install into that team. With him, you know, having Golden State young and building the culture there, that you can affirm that he's a culture builder as a coach. So, I mean, he's going to get in there and build a culture. They already have a culture. They just need to identify by that and get a couple more pieces. And on the coaching side of the end, I think he's going to come out intense. It's some fire, some passion behind that name. Mark Jackson would be a very good option as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely is going to be a good option as well. Let's kind of move on to some of the players on discussion. The big one, of course, is Victor Oladipo. There have been a lot of rumors on Oladipo, whether he's going to stay in Indiana, whether he wants out, you know, plenty of things that have been discussed throughout the NBA offseason. Caleb, I'll kind of ask this. If you're Victor Oladipo, would you want to run it back with the same team as last year now that you're fully healthy? Or do you simply want to say, you know what? I love my time here in Indiana. I want a shot at winning a championship. I want to go to a team like a Milwaukee, like LA, maybe a Brooklyn to try and compete for a championship. So I'll ask you that question, Caleb. What do you think Victor Oladipo should do?
Yeah, well, you know, Victor Oladipo is going to do really what he wants to do based on his plans and what type of contract he's looking for. And that's something that him and his agent will speak about and probably already have spoken about. But it basically depends on what he would do. And I think maybe staying is a good option just because he makes the team a lot better if he can fit. I mean, in the offense next year, because he didn't really get a chance to this year. He kind of caught on late. TJ Warren caught fire. But if he could have a full year and just, you know, learn to fit in the offense, I think they could be a better team. But realistically, we're talking about winning a championship year, actually competing. They're not a team that can win a championship with the roster that they have, either with Victor Oladipo, TJ Warren, Sabonis, Turner, and Brogdon. It's a solid starting five, but still not better than the Lakers. I still feel like Lakers, Warriors, and a couple other teams have a better starting five. They are a solid team, but I don't think they have enough to get over the hump. So if he wants to do his best for him in his career, I think he should maybe leave or stay. I don't know. It's a big decision. I mean, with Indiana, you know, what would you do if you were Indiana, being that you have him on the books? You could sign him. That totally takes you out of play for Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, Paul George, and 2021. So you have to really look at it and make a decision. So my question to you is, what would you do if you were Indiana?
If I were Indiana, I would run the same team back. I mean, you look at, they didn't have Oladipo for most of the year. Jimmy Lamb went down with a torn ACL, and they were still in competition for a top four seed. I mean, Sabonis turned into an all-star. I feel like if you run the same team back, if you got Brogdon running the point guard, Oladipo with Warren, Sabonis, and Turner, I think a fully healthy season out of those players, a full set, a 72-game season, I feel like we could see Indiana in the conversation of one of the dark horse teams. Now, I do say, Caleb, you do have a point. I don't think they could compete for a championship. I just think the teams in the Eastern Conference are just better. I think you have Milwaukee. They're right up there. You got Brooklyn, Boston. You even got Miami up there. They just made it to the NBA Finals. But Indiana is kind of right there. They're one of those teams where if there's a team that they can make a dark horse run, the Indiana Pacers are that team. And it also depends on who they hire as a head coach, because we've seen it before where you could have all the right, players on the NBA team, but if your head coach isn't good, you know, you're not going to go far. So we'll see how the Indiana Pacers approach that. Now, if I were Indiana, on the flip side, I look at the Indiana Pacers draft pick. They don't have a first round pick. Their first round pick is occupied by the Milwaukee Bucks. So in my humble opinion, if I'm going to move on from Oladipo this offseason, I want to be able to trade in to the first round and select, you know, maybe a replacement point guard, maybe like a Theo Maledon, maybe like a RJ Hampton if he's there, or Tyrese Maxey if he's there. That would be my personal opinion if I'm the Indiana Pacers. And it also depends on what's Oladipo going to do. You know, if Oladipo voices, it doesn't matter what happens in Indiana, I am going to leave this offseason, then you trade him. You know, that's the obvious move. But if he shows that he still wants to stay with the Pacers, and it's honestly, you know, you kind of have to roll with during the season. You know, if there's a trade deadline, then you kind of judge it from there. You know, depending on how the Pacers shape at the trade deadline, if they're competing for one of the top seeds in the Eastern Conference, a 1-4 range, I think you keep Oladipo. But if you're in the bottom echelon of teams, if you're like 8-6, then I honestly would trade Oladipo, because there's no reason to keep Oladipo if he's going to leave, then trade and get some assets for him. You know, that's my personal belief on what the Indiana Pacers should do. You know, it's kind of a two-part process. One is, you know, I'll repeat it again. You keep Oladipo, you run the same team back, because, I mean, we look at way back in 2018 when it was peak Oladipo before injury, people forget the Indiana Pacers were the third seed in the Eastern Conference. They were right up there with teams competing in the East. So if you're Indiana, you look at Oladipo's going to be back and fully healthy, ready to go. TJ Warren looked fantastic in the bubble. If he could continue playing that, that's another cat for you right there. So Bonus turned into an all-star player. And even Malcolm Brogdon turned into a great piece. So if you're Indiana, you look at the kind of players that you have, and you're like, you know what? Maybe we can make a run at it. Maybe by the trade deadline, we can be the ones that are a buyer, that we could buy in, get another player or two, and try and compete. So it's all on what Indiana and company will do. And I also think it'll be kind of how they shape up at the trade deadline. You know, that's kind of with all NBA teams where, you know, if you're competing at the trade deadline, they'll make moves. Look at the LA Lakers. They were competing at the trade deadline. They made moves to get Deion Waiters, Markieff Morris, J.R. Smith, and they wound up winning a championship. So it all depends on where the Pacers are situated. But in my opinion, you couldn't go wrong with either way, whether trading Oladipo and getting assets for him, or, you know, keeping Oladipo and being competitive in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, for sure. Getting assets is that can't go wrong with getting assets. The assets route also opens the route for a sign and trade. So that could mean he could end up at a team that possibly doesn't have the money, like the Lakers, in a sign and trade where, you know, the Pacers can receive Kuzma back, and that might be beneficial to them, where they could get Kuzma and build through the draft to get that next piece and still have a good six man. So, getting assets always the route, letting them walk and thinking about being competitive again back in 2021 definitely isn't a bad option again, because even if you put Paul George in that crew instead of Vic, it's pretty interesting. I think Paul George could definitely run with those guys and give some people in the East a run. Paul George, Malcolm Brogdon, TJ Warren, Sabonis, and Turner. I mean, that's pretty intriguing in itself.
Yeah, definitely very interesting. Let's kind of move on to that topic. 2021 free agency class, obviously consisting of Victor Oladipo. There's also Giannis, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, kind of those big name pieces. Caleb, you kind of mentioned Paul George going to back to Indiana. How come you believe Indiana could be a team in play for big name free agents, even though Indiana is an okay location and last time they had the Paul George experiment and didn't really work out well? Do you think maybe times have changed? Maybe Indiana's kind of learned from their ways and are more willing to be more aggressive and win now? Or do you just simply think that, you know, Indiana could be a sleeper team?
I think they're just more intriguing because they have the culture there, they have the money, and they have the pieces as far as young guys to either make a trade, sign a star player and make a trade and get another star player to go there. When I say star player, I mean superior star player. Or they have the money to bring in a star player and surround them with some solid young pieces. So they have themselves to put themselves in, they have the leverage to put themselves in a different position. So that's why I think that, you know, leaving them open to have an option to compete in that free agency class is ideal, because they show that they can compete without a top five star anyway. They just show they have the pieces, and otherwise, like, they just need a top five star. You put AD on that team, I mean, you know, they're projected to do something because they have a lot of pieces. So that's why I give them the option to, you know, be competitive in that market. And that, if that means taking this 2020, the next year, 2020 and 2021 year, where they're, you know, six seed competitive but just can't get over the hump, to be competitive in free agency, so be it. That's just how I feel. What do you think? You know, being that they're dealing with the 2021 season at hand, you know, 2021 free agency, 2022, that's where, you know, free agency is going to boom. But dealing with this season at hand, what do you feel they should do in this free agency class? Because you can let Oladipo walk, and that's they need to make a decision based on present. So what would you do?
In my humbled opinion, what I would do, if I'm not going to re-sign Oladipo, I better have a damn good backup plan. And that backup plan being a Paul George, a Kawhi Leonard, or a Greek Freak. That's my that is my plan to fall on if I can't get Oladipo. My humbled opinion for Indiana, you know, I stated it earlier, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do at the trade deadline. Because in my honest opinion, like you said, Caleb, if they're a six seed and they're competing, it's kind of one of those where, you know, why wouldn't you move on from Victor Oladipo, you know, when you could get a lot of assets, even though he's not possibly going to come back. Now, if Oladipo says he's not going to re-sign as a free agent, he's definitely going to be, you know, the Indiana Pacers are definitely going to be looking to trade him at the trade deadline. And if he simply wants to be there, then, you know, fantastic. You try and bring him back. But, you know, found the Pacers' first order of business is giving out the extension to Oladipo. I do everything you can to try and get him back. And, you know, if he doesn't want to re-sign, then simply try and go after another free agent star. And if that doesn't happen, then, you know, you just simply have to look at your plan B. You know, you would have Jeremy Lamb as a backup and you just elevate him to a starter. You would have Brogdon play the point guard, or you use whatever money you have, sign a free agent point guard, move Brogdon to shooting guard, keep Lamb off the bench and kind of go from there. So if I'm the Indiana Pacers, there are plenty of options to definitely attack during the 2020-2021 free agency. But my first priority is to make sure Oladipo is happy with the Pacers and comes back, because if he's not happy during the offseason, then it's kind of one of those where, damn, we should have traded him while we had the chance to get some assets. And, you know, that's kind of how I feel about it. You know, Oladipo is a guy who he was fantastic in 2018 before the injury hit. He was an all-star. Then the injury hit, and it's kind of taken him a little bit to come back. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he plays next year during the 72-game season. You know, because if Oladipo's back to 2018 form, then, oh my gosh, the Indiana Pacers are going to be a very, very sleeper team that could potentially knock down a top team in the Eastern Conference. If we're being honest, they have that much capability to do that. But for now, main goal is to make sure Oladipo's happy and bring him back.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they definitely have an option. If they could get a one-year deal, that's probably a deal for the both of them, you know, being that Indiana has this year to assess what they're going to do. And it's an equal playing field for both of them. You know, heading into the draft, they have – what number draft pick, do you know?
Well, the Indiana Pacers this year don't have a first-round pick. Their original first-round pick would have been 24, but that is currently held by the Milwaukee Bucks, I believe, because of the Malcolm Brogdon signing trade. Last year, the Pacers gave up their first-round pick this year, which resulted in number 24, which kind of leads into my next question. If you're the Indiana Pacers, what do you do to trade in to the first round? Do you go after kind of the mid to low 20s where they're competing teams like the Celtics, the Raptors, Lakers, or Clippers, or do you go ballsy, try and trade into the top 15 and try and get a franchise player if possible?
If I was them, I try to trade into the 20s if it doesn't cost too much. But if it costs too much, then just stay where you're at, stay put, and begin to fill up some role players in the system. I don't think that they need to be overly aggressive. They can be overly aggressive, but that just will totally change the direction of the franchise. So I don't think they need to be overly aggressive. Like I said, again, they can be overly aggressive. And they could, I think they could trade themselves into the number two pick they really wanted to. So that's something they can do. But no, I would say stay where you're at and just stick to code.
All right, they have definitely good points there. I would agree with you as well. I feel like what I would do is I personally would open up Oladipo for trade on the draft day. And I would only move on from Oladipo if it's a trade I cannot refuse. Now, this would be an interesting one. The Atlanta Hawks have the number 6 pick in the NBA draft. If the Atlanta Hawks are willing to give up a number 6 overall pick for Oladipo, if I'm the Indiana Pacers, I might look at that option and simply say, look, I might only have Oladipo for one more year. If I get that 6 overall pick, I have him for at least the next 4 to 5 years. And depending on who's available at number 6, if there's a guy like a Tyrese Halliburton or a Danny Avita or Obi Toppin there at number 6, found the Pacers, I simply say, why not? But only if that trade is available, I would take it. But most definitely, I would agree with you, Caleb. Just try and go for the mid-20s. You know, if if Milwaukee wants to give that pick back to you, I'd say go for it. You know, if Boston wants to make a move, go ahead. Same with the Lakers or the Raptors. You know, simply go ahead with those moves, which kind of then leads into the next topic of discussion. If the Indiana Pacers do trade in to the first round pick, what draft picks, what draft prospects would you be looking at?
Depends who we trade for. So I see you mentioned you give up Vic on draft day. Not a bad observation. That could definitely get you in the top five, maybe even number one, because I see so much of a similarity in Anthony Edwards and Victor Oladipo. So maybe even number one. But I think you could go to number two, knock on Golden State's door, offer Turner, McDermott, some picks, like a lot of picks, 2 seconds, maybe in a first again. And then you could plug in Wiseman at that centerpiece with Oladipo, Sabonis, Warren, and Brogdon.
Now that is definitely a bold trade there. Look at your Golden State. You still got Oladipo. You can still compete in everything. And
I mean, Golden State, if you were Golden State, would you take that offer? Miles Turner, Doug McDermott, 2 seconds and a first, 2021 first, or 2022 first, or yeah, 2021 first.
2021 first. I'd actually give a consideration. Because you look at it, takes care of the need at center. You get a guy.
You got a guy
in McDermott who can actually do great, who could be a fantastic bench player. And so if I'm actually going to stay, I would actually look at that trade. I'd give it some good thought and consideration.
And you know what? Just to throw it really on the table, if I had to, I'll either take Doug McDermott off and give Jeremy Lamb or add Jeremy Lamb on top of that.
Now that is definitely a good option there. It'll be interesting with Jeremy Lamb because he's coming off of an ACL injury. So it'll be interesting if Jeremy Lamb comes back kind of the same kind of role bench player that he was beforehand.
True. You have a real point there. You have a real point there because who knows if he'll come back the same. But if he does, that could be really good for the Warriors. Really good for them.
Yeah. It definitely would be if that were the case. To close out this edition of What Would You Do, NBA offseason edition, talking about the Indiana Pacers, where do you believe, Caleb, the Indiana Pacers will finish during this 72-game season? Do you believe it's another first-round exit waiting to happen? Or do you maybe believe they can make it past the first round and further on into the playoffs?
I think they can make it past the first round, further on into the playoffs, depending on the role players they get this year. So if they could go get some guys like Rondo, if they could get lucky and pull him, you know. They could be good, but I think they could get past in the second round. If the cards fall in their hand, they might even be able to get to the conference, the Eastern Conference Finals. If it falls in their hand, they just got to battle, build a culture, and hit the right spots in free agency. And I definitely think that they're capable of a second round or maybe third round opportunity. What do you think?
This is a tough one for me, but I have to say I think it's another first round exit. I mean, we look at and the reason only being is because of how they're going to match up in the seeding. You look at number one is probably going to go to Milwaukee or Brooklyn as one or two. You got to think Boston's going to be number three. Toronto's got to be in that top four. You got Miami, who's a solid team at five, and then Indiana's kind of right there, you know, at six. Do we really think that the Indiana Pacers could beat could be a Boston Celtics team as number six seed. I just don't know about that. If I'm the Indiana Pacers, I am going to take a good hard look at this team at the trade deadline. And if I were the GM or the owner, I would simply go up to the team and say, look, can we really compete and win a championship? Because that's what it's all about.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's definitely what it's all about, winning a championship. So they definitely got to make the move. They got to make the move that points them in that direction. So you never know if they might have to blow it up in a couple of years, honestly.
Yeah, they might have to. That's going to be the interesting thing on what the Indiana Pacers will do during this season. Let's hope for the best for Indiana. I mean, they're one of the smaller markets in the NBA, so hopefully they could bring some success, and maybe they can go far. You know, if they go far, that's fantastic. And if not, then you just simply have to maybe blow it up like Caleb mentioned.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, concludes today's edition of What Would You Do? NBA offseason edition, talking about the Indiana Pacers.
Yes, sir. We are out of here. NCS World Sports Podcast. You can catch us on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcast at. I said podcast, but wherever you listen to your podcast at, that's where you can catch us. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
Yo.